all these guys in concert. 1996 at the Vet. They opened for the Rolling Stones. So that was a pretty cool opening act.
Was he still big?
Yeah, he was big in 96. Yeah, he was huge in 96.
You know how incredible it is what he can do with a harmonica? Mm-hmm. Like, what he's doing, I don't know if you realize, Joe, like, each of those holes that you blow wind into in a harmonica, in order for him to make those sounds that he's making, he's like covering little portions of the holes with parts of his tongue. He's covering little parts of the holes with his fingers. There's so much more that goes into what he's doing.
I did not know that.
Than what you realize.
Yeah.
That is like virtuosity on a harmonica. Like, don't remember when we heard Blues Traveler for the first time? It was like, was that a harmonica?
It was a different sound.
I've never heard it sound that way.
Yeah.
He was so fast. It was so fluid. It was just so different than everything else.
That was great. There's no doubt. No doubt.
Super cool.
All right. So let's get here today to what I believe is the most interesting cut or not cut situation with the Eagles, because most of this is really basic. I mean, it's not hard to figure out who's going to make it and not make it for about 50 of the 53 players. The one that I think is most fascinating is James Bradberry. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's rewind to the playoff game. When I was watching that game, Eagles in Tampa last year, I thought, and will stand by thinking, that it was the worst played game by any Eagles player I ever saw in a playoff game. Of all the players that have struggled for the Eagles in a playoff game, I don't ever remember one struggling more. And I thought that night, there is no way on, what do they call it? God's green earth. There's no way Bradberry's back. But they stood by him, maybe tried to trade him, maybe didn't, but he never was gone. He passed all the checkpoints. You know, he got through free agency, wasn't cut. He got through the draft, wasn't traded. He got past June 1st, wasn't a post-June 1st cut designation. He got to training camp. He got to a game.
But no, hold on, there's so much more than this, because while he's practicing with the team, if you'll recall, they're moving him around.
No, it changed his position.
They've taken him now, and this is at the beginning of this offseason.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah.
They are playing him in the slot. They are moving him inside, moving him outside. Now they're trying him at safety.
Yeah.
Like, this is all new
stuff.
And
I got to credit you, John. You said right from the outset, I mean, I'm talking mid-January, you're like, because you know how hard I was coming down on him and everyone's coming down on him. You said, hold on a second here. As Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend. There is a chance they could keep him by moving him to safety. And damn if they didn't do that. So,
they are going to keep him because he is a smart player. He can provide value as a player in that way. He can almost be an instructor for the young guys.
Look, I tend to think they'll keep him also because they've gotten to this point. I am struck by, I have in front of me, the final predictions for Elliot Shurparks and Jeff McLean, and they agree on 51 of the 53 players that will be kept. There's only a couple players in there. There's two that McLean has keeping and two Elliot has keeping that are different. Bradberry's one of them. Elliot says the Eagles keep Bradberry in his prediction. McLean says otherwise. So look, well, I don't know. We'll see. We're going to know by 4 o'clock today. Chances are we'll know even a little bit before that. I'm sure information will, kind of trickle out. 215-592-9494. If he makes the team, it's an incredible resurrection because I certainly didn't see it coming.
He's going to
now,
make the team.
Now, I'll say this: there's making the team, and then there's really contributing. You know, I hope they don't keep him for the wrong reasons, i.e., it's just a cap stash. You know, I mean, it might be. I mean, can he play? I don't know. Got to see him play more at safety to know. All right, let's go to the phones. 215.
He can be a really strong. Remember, we have three safety defenses at times. We have, you know, that nickel is when you add a smaller defender, a DB, for a linebacker.
Yep.
You replace a linebacker with a DB. That could be a safety.
But you know how
that
bad he looked.
That could be a cornerback.
He looked so bad.
I understand. He is better, in my mind, at getting in there right now and playing that nickel linebacker role than the young guys, in some cases, than what I saw from our new young draftee, from Iowa.
Yeah,
my gosh.
Yeah.
Cooper looked like he a fish out of water as a linebacker. He can't do that anywhere close to
as well as Bradbury just started playing. I mean, you know,
you're right.
Give it 3 weeks. It could be a totally different story.
And he was just thrust into that. And they said, hey, go out there and play every snap in this preseason game. So that's a tough spot to be in. Yep. But I'm telling you, he's got more experience than a lot of these young guys. They can throw him out there and know he's not going to make mistakes. That feels different. You've got a really talented young backfield, defensive backfield, but you don't really have those guys that you know for sure they know where they got to be. So now James Bradbury as the third safety in some defenses, or the additional DB, the add-on, he can make a big difference in terms of getting guys in the right spots.
Well, look, does he make the team or not? If you want to weigh in, 215-592-9494. I mean, it's quite a rebound if he does. Let's go to Tom right now. Tom, good morning, buddy.
Yo, Joe. How you doing,
Yo,
man?
Tom.
Hey, John. Welcome back, big man.
Thanks, Tom.
Hey, real quick on the Phillies, you were saying about the Dodgers. I think if everything works out, they should play them in the NLCS. And I've been watching Ohtani. Now, if he leads off, I think the way for the Phillies to beat them is I would pitch to him on the first at bat, then I would just walk him the rest of the
time. No. Look, he's an amazing player, Tom, but he's not Barry Bonds in his prime. He's a great player, but that's not. Listen, you got to know come that time is the guy behind him struggling. I mean, that was part of when Bryce was getting walked last year. Bone was struggling. So, candidly, I'd have to know more about, you know, who's grooved in and who's not. But is my mindset to just be afraid and not pitch to him? No, it's not. I mean, I got a great starting pitching staff. I got to trust my guys to be able to get some outs. That would be, as of right now, my mindset.
I see your point. Now, with the Eagles, we talk about a concern. I mean, the problem that we've had the last couple of years is they haven't wanted to run the ball. And then they hire an offensive coordinator who traditionally does not like to run the ball. See, I don't want that to be a problem in week 3 and 4 where we have to go back and rehash what we've been doing the last few seasons on offense.
You're right. It is an ongoing saga, though. It's something that I am very accustomed to as a player, as a mini offensive lineman, which is sort of what I prided myself on being most days. We wanted to run the football a lot more than every coach we played for ran the football. It's just the way it works if you're an O-lineman or a mini O-lineman. You complain that you didn't run it enough when it's all said and done.
Hey, Tom, give me a big-time answer. Fascinating relationship, generational divide.
Yeah, real quick, I just wanted to say the defense, they need to tackle and need to be addressed. They need to take away and get off the field on third down.
No question.
We got better tacklers this year than we've had in recent years with this crop of linebackers. I feel great about that part, and I do think it's going to be faster and just look different. We got, like, trained killers out there just stalking people. It's going to be fun.
All right, Tom, give me an answer. What do you got?
I'm going to say Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
I said for movie shows and books, so that won't work because I specifically mentioned movie shows and books. But yes, in football terms, that would have been interesting. Let's get to, speaking of baseball terms, Rob Thompson yesterday, because, you know, Taiwan's going to get another start. They're flipping Taiwan and Christopher Sanchez. So Sanchez gets to pitch against the Braves, but, you know, Taiwan pitches tomorrow against the Astros. I think it's ridiculous. Rob Thompson, who I do think's in a tough spot, who I don't think is the individual that made the decision for Taiwan Walker to get another start. So I say that to frame, I think he's in a tough spot to publicly answer these questions. He had been asked why Taiwan gets another start. Here's what he said.
But I was encouraged by his velocity. I know he threw some pitches down the middle, but he got behind as well. So, I think he deserves, because of who he is and his experience, he deserves another shot.
Are you limited with what you can do, though, with him? I mean, other than sticking with him, if you wanted to make some kind of move, are you kind of limited, do you think?
With him personally, like, I don't know what the...
With what to do with him going forward, if you wanted to make a change, then.
Well, I mean, you can always make a change, but, I mean, I'm confident he's going to bounce back at this point. So maybe not everybody is, but I am.
All right,
but that's
so,
who I am.
So Rob Thompson handles it that way. And he obviously says some things that when you hear it, I know it annoys people. When you see it in print, I think it particularly annoys people, because if you don't get the full context of how he's stammering to answer these questions, you might think he's saying this stuff like he's Patrick Henry. Give me liberty or give me death. He's not being that strong, in my opinion.
But it's as wishy-washy as it gets.
Yeah,
and he can't explain it because he doesn't want to.
He knows the whole thing's ridiculous. Right.
Yes, he's aware. But I think it comes through when he says he deserves it because of who he is. Let's translate that to he deserves this because of what we're paying him.
Well, let's translate even further. He's getting it.
Yes.
Because of what we're paying him.
Bang.
All right, Seltzer, two options here. I'm curious which one hits you more. Are you more annoyed at Rob Thompson or feel bad for Rob Thompson?
I feel more bad for Rob Thompson. I just don't think this is his decision. Like, I might be wrong. It's possible he's making the calls, and I mean, it's possible. It's all his. I just don't see it. I think this is coming from up down and saying, hey, we paid this guy a lot of money. You got to keep rolling him out there until we tell you to not roll him out there. And I think it's a really tough spot for the manager.
So let me say this. I've noticed this more and more. The older I get in sports, the more I sense this. There are people in sports, and by the way, not just in sports, you know, some CEO types and all. Sometimes the principal of a school, for instance, they get paid money, more money than the average person at that school or in that profession, whatever it might be. They get paid money sometimes to be the front man or front woman saying ridiculous stuff. I think Goodell, look, I'm not a Goodell guy, but I do think part of the reason a couple years ago it was $44 million. I don't know what his contract is now. Part of the reason he gets paid that money is because he takes bullets for the owners. I mean, they set stuff in motion. He goes out there and has to defend it. It sounds ridiculous. Everybody knows. Like, Jerry Jones is his boss. Robert Kraft is Goodell's boss. So, of course, when the NFL makes a decision that rubs people the wrong way and Goodell says something, of course, he seems like the boob. He seems like the idiot, but he's taking a bullet for someone else. And in that way, I sort of feel bad for him at times. I felt bad for Rob Thompson. Now, look, did he go further than I would have preferred he went? Yeah. But that's tough, man. I mean, how do you answer that question without giving Taiwan some kind of compliment? Because if you don't have some kind of compliment to justify why he's getting another start, I mean, you know.
You're throwing your boss under the bus, too. Like,
well,
even,
that's true,
you know,
too.
Right? Like, the point is, if we believe that it's Dave Dombrowski or higher above saying, pitch Taiwan Walker, Rob Thompson can't go out there and be like,
yeah, this is a joke.
Yeah, this guy's not very good. I know. Right. I know. I wish I didn't have to start him. Like, you can't do that.
You can't do that. All right. We'll ask you 215-592-9494. When you hear Rob Thompson's answer, that's a good point, James. When you hear his answer, do you feel more bad for him? Or do you feel more annoyed with him? Well, the Phils are they're playing better baseball. Not just three in a row, which I think most people probably know they've won three in a row. It's actually 8 of 12, which is starting to sound a lot better than what they had done there for 2.5 months. So good job of the fight back, not just in the last 2 weeks, but also specifically last night's game coming back from that 2-0 deficit. We'll go through the highlights of the game from last night. There certainly were a couple that stood out, including that Bryce Harper walk-off, which is very cool. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get to the CeeDee Lamb situation as it relates to the Eagles, as it relates to Devontae's contract and A.J. Brown's contract. Also, Temple Tough James Seltzer in there.
That's me, buddy.
I saw yesterday that
we're a 43-point underdog. Is that where you're going?
177-point underdog. Temple at Oklahoma Saturday. Ooh. All right.
Good, 43 seems light. I'll take Oklahoma.
Good luck, Seltzer. Good luck,
guys. This is my issue with college football. Like, there's no reason that should be a real spread. That's insane.
Well, you know what the thing about college football?
They're going to cover it, right? I mean, does anyone think that Oklahoma won't win by more than 43?
You know what's one of the things that's, I think, a dirty little secret about college football? The teams that compete for the national championship game, they really only have to win like 3 or 4 games that they really have to compete
that
in.
That matter, yeah.
There's so many games that are just walkovers.
Well, exactly.
So many.
Like, respectfully, this Temple-Oklahoma game, like, who wants to even watch that?
Respectfully.
It's not enjoyable.
Devin is worried about losing the Temple listeners. So she gives
me... Sorry, we know our football team stinks,
so
Devin. We're good.
Respectfully, I mean this blast.
There's
no
respect when it comes to Temple football, sadly.
All right, 215-592-9494. And yet, a decade ago...
Matt Rhule, baby.
Oh, listen. And Al Golden got the whole thing going.
He did, yeah. Al Golden someone started it.
College game day.
That doesn't make sense.
In front of Independence Hall. That was nine years ago.
My highlight by far. Like nothing's even in its hemisphere. And dude, we lost the game that day.
But it was very close.
It was so close.
Why has it gotten so far from where it matters?
Because like it's never really mattered.
It wasn't going to be sustained. I mean, how was it going to be sustained?
Like,
that was
the only time it mattered in the history of the program.
That was
since Paul Palmer or whatever.
Yeah, but that was even way better than that squad.
And it was. That's the point. Yeah.
All right. 215-592-9494. All right. By the way, so the phantom injury detector is
Okay.
We can still hope there.
So Ian Rappaport on today's cutdown day yesterday, Ian Rappaport tweeted out the following about Eagles rookie Aeneas Smith. Here's the tweet. I will read it verbatim. Eagles rookie wide receiver Aeneas Smith reported discomfort in his ankle and hamstring.
Oh, no.
After completing Saturday's game, sources say. The fifth rounder is getting an MRI, and his availability for the start of the season is in some doubt.
I'm shocked.
Is this a stash? Is this a stash, ladies and gentlemen? Hey, Aeneas, we wish you all the best for your recovery.
We'll see you next training camp, big dog.
So to put this in perspective, so if they put him in on what? Would it be waivers. The pop list or waivers?
Waiver. Okay. If they don't put him on IL,
if
they
about.
Don't put him in an injury, they'd have to either keep him or cut him.
So it keeps them from having to cut him.
That's exactly right. It could buy them whatever it is, 4 weeks, six weeks. It
could buy them a year.
It could buy, I mean, it's probably not going to be that. It's not like they're saying he tore his ACL, all right?
I'm just saying. I doubt he's hurt at all.
My guess, Devin, is maybe they're trying to buy a month.
Yeah.
You know, figure out who can play, who can't, shuttle some stuff in and out. Because there's always, you know, 5 to 7 roster spots that move around in the course of a season. So, you know, I mean, look, I'm not reporting that that's occurred because I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, there's a lot of people saying
if he is.
Everyone is.
Well, if
everyone.
This one smells dirty. Good enough that they want to keep him around with this fib, because it is a fib. If that's
John's
what
reporting
this becomes.
Definitively.
It's only because of the last, few days that he would be fibbed about, because he was not putting anything.
No, it's only
out there.
It's not even the last few days. It's because he was a fifth round pick. That's the only reason.
No, but sometimes fifth rounders got cut.
It's really rare that fifth round guys. They don't cut him that often.
Hey,
man,
they cut that quarterback. Who was that Northeast?
Clayton Thorson.
Was he a fifth rounder?
He was a fifth rounder.
He stuck.
That's the last time they cut a fifth rounder. He was a quarterback.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. 215-592-9494. Reaction on the Phils and obviously the Eagles as they get. Now 10 days away from the start of the season. Cutdown day, we'll talk to Elliot at 7:55. Brian Baldinger, man, we haven't talked to Baldy in at least a couple months. Baldy with us today at 8:35. Big picture on where the Eagles are, according to Baldy. We'll get to that coming up in just over an hour. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, what's going on, dude?
Good morning, guys. Thinking about Bradberry, I mean, can't cover, can't tackle. Sign me up, man. I'm excited.
He knows who to cover.
But it's a matter of athletic greatness. Is
guys,
it still there?
I think you are underestimating what is required to some degree at the safety spot. Like, he's not going to be asked to man people up who are blazers, like, over the top any longer.
Yep, yep.
That was a big part of the problem. You know, he's grabbing on and holding because guys can run by him, and he knows that.
He is still going to be asked to cover a lot of field. I mean, that's not...
Yes, but he'll be asked to cover a tight end now. He's giving up size rather than speed.
Yep, that's right. All right, go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's funny that you mentioned the Aeneas Smith situation. I think as soon as Sidney Brown comes off the pup list, it's bye-bye, Mr. Bradberry. But we'll see what happens. I had a question. I was just thinking about this. Talked about tight ends last week, and I just think either on as a pass rusher or guard, like there's somebody who's not on this roster yet who's going to help. Mainly at guard position, because I'm just not convinced that Mekhi Becton, if you're getting club moved by defensive tackles, like you're not playing with enough leverage. Like,
so Ed, let me tell you something, man. I feel like just a gut feeling, and we'll talk to Elliot in half an hour and see if he agrees. I feel like more so this year than past years, whatever the roster is at 4:01 this afternoon, could be different by 2 to 4 players by 4:01 tomorrow afternoon. I think there's going to be some guys shuttled in and out. And I'll tell you, Ed,
there always is.
No, but
I mean,
more this year.
Cut,
more.
Howie goes out, he finds the best of the bunch.
Ed,
and brings
them in. Ed, here are 3 spots I think they are dangerously thin. And I mean, they're stocked with the starters, but dangerously thin behind. Offensive line, wide receiver, although obviously improved with Dotson, but he's technically a starter. Behind him, do you really trust someone in a game? And quarterback. I mean, I thought both backup quarterbacks, frankly, kind of stunk this preseason. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be easy to find in the next day.
Stink, though.
He's not good. He's not. Kenny Pickett's not
good. He's young, and he understands what we're asking him to do, which is let the offense work for you.
But John,
I think he shows a lot of promise.
I think
he's got the arm strength. He's got the processing speed. That's what matters the most.
Why did Pittsburgh dump him?
I'm not talking about Kenny Pickett. I'm talking about Tanner McKee.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong guy. I'm sorry. I misheard you. Anyway, Ed, go ahead. I mean, there's a lot still to be determined here.
Yeah, there is. Quickly on the Phils, very gritty win last night. I was really, going back at 2 nights ago where Brandon Marsh drew a walk, didn't result in any runs, but drew a walk against a lefty out of the bullpen, went deep last night.
Yeah.
Seems like he's getting his footing. The top 3 hitters last night drew 4 walks, so people are getting on base.
Stott's been getting some hits.
Yeah,
still a lot of strikeouts, but it's like Bill Murray and Dr. Leo Marvin's office. We're doing some baby steps here.
All right, Ed, you got it.
We don't talk about Bob enough. That's a great reference.
Ed, give me an answer here, an interesting relationship with a generational divide from the world of fiction.
There's multiple examples in this show, but he never had the makings of a varsity athlete, Tony Soprano and Uncle June.
You know, that's really
interesting.
That's a
great answer.
God, that's a great answer.
It really is.
I mean, Tony.
He's going to be a baseball player.
Well, that and, I mean, Uncle June was involved in trying to kill him.
Kill him, yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's a great answer.
Fascinating.
Man. All right,
the effrontery.
Speaking of answers, I'll tell you an answer to a riddle. What would make Brandon Marsh was just referenced there by the last caller. What would make the outfield situation a lot better? Let me answer the question. If Austin Hayes was any good.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's why. And last night's game kind of showed it. If Hayes could just be the left fielder as they said he was going to be when they acquired him. If Marsh could just play center field and bat against righties.
Well,
and Rojas could play center field and bat against lefties. And it was that simple. The whole situation would be better. I mean, last night the Phillies got a good game from the center field position. Marsh hit a home run, and Rojas made a great catch.
Austin Hayes got injured shortly after he was inserted in that starting lineup.
My problem is I think they're going to have to keep mixing and matching and overexposing Marsh. And Marsh gets too many at-bats against lefties. Rojas gets too many at-bats against righties. And I don't think that's really going to change.
And adding to it, I mean, Sir Anthony Dominguez is the closer of the Orioles now. The guy you traded for us, he's been really good. He's their closer. He took over for Craig Kimbrell as the Orioles. He's the Orioles' closer now. Like, it is what it is, but, like, that's who they traded for him.
All right,
is he doing well? I thought he imploded a couple
nights ago. He had one bad outing.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, he's their closer.
All right.
He's got a 2.77 ERA for them and 9 or 10 saves.
Now, look, I don't say what I just said there about center field and left field to skew negative. I mean, I'm happy. I'm happy that, you know, obviously they're playing a little better right now. It's 3 in a row. It's 8 of 12. And last night was, I would call it a really quality win. I mean, you're facing a good team. You're down. You know that you don't have the division wrapped up. You're in a dogfight with the Dodgers and the Brewers for, you know, playoff positioning, seating-wise, buys and all that. You're down 2-0. It's time to try to fight back. And they began that process with Brandon Marsh.
The 2-0 to Marsh. Swing and a drive well hit. Left center field. Alvarez back. Track. Wall. And it's gone. Opposite field home run for Brandon Marsh as he puts the Phillies on the board with his 13th home run of the season. That'll cut the lead in half. It's 2-1.
You know, I'll tell you this. There's 2 really important things with Marsh right now as it relates to the future. Short term, long term. Short term is his impact over the next, 2.5 months for hopefully the Phillies to win a World Series, right? Go as far as you can. Long term, I think he might be playing for his job. I mean, if they get bounced pretty early and he never really finds his way out of the funk that he's been in for most of the last 4 months, you know, when Dave Dombrowski this offseason examines, you know, how am I going to do things a little different? I mean, let's not kid ourselves. He could go. And so he loves being here. He loves his teammates. They love him. We all love him. Great guy. But this is an important time for Brandon Marsh to try to, you know, lock in.
He has one thing really going for him. He's incredibly cheap for the next 4 years.
I know.
He's making $766,000 this year, and he's arbitration the next 3 years. So, like, that with a team with contracts,
That helps him. That helps him for sure.
That's absolutely the way that he's played. So he has played to that value.
That's right. All right, more from last night's game. So Marsh, you know, great job making it 2-1. And then Castellanos, who has, I would call it quietly, come on in the last couple weeks. Castellanos with a big hit in the sixth.
Blanco with a wine in the 0-1. Swinging a line drive up the middle. There's a base hit. In to score is Harper, and Nick Castellanos has tied the ball game. It's 2-2.
Right, so, you know, you get through the process of Wheeler getting in a 2-0 hole, and the bat's not doing anything for a good stretch there. So you got the game tied. Now, I got to tell you, play of the game was Rojas's catch.
Without a doubt.
I mean, this is why you consider playing him. I mean, this is the primary reason why. Dude, go have a glove and make a catch with the glove, with your legs. Get there and corral it. And boy, oh boy, in a big spot last night, he did.
Strom delivers in the pitch. Swung on, line to center. Rojas coming in. Dives! He's got it! Johan Rojas, a full layout. Dives in and makes the catch. And that is out number three.
That was awesome. Absolutely
I thought for
awesome.
Sure it was a hit. Yeah. Like off the bat, I was like, well, we're down a run. Like that's a hit right there.
Big time catch by Rojas. And then really, you know, the Phillies' best player who has had his own struggles over the last couple of weeks. Bryce Harper obviously has not been grooved in. And he was even a little critical of himself after the game that he didn't exactly drill this ball. You know, it just kind of trickled through.
Rolled one over, he said.
That's right. But he got it into the outfield, and with that, Schwarber scored. Let's listen in the winning hit. Two on, Bryce Harper, 10th inning, and he came through.
Josh Hader against Bryce Harper here in the bottom of the 10th. First pitch, ground ball through the right side. It's a base hit. Schwarber around third. He's coming home. The throw from the outfield is late, and Harper wins it on a walk-off over Josh Hader here in the bottom of the 10th inning. The Phillies win it 3-2.
All right, so terrific job by the Phillies last night. Look, they get a good start from Wheeler. It's not truly dominant, but it's really good. They don't hit much, but they pick it up. They show some grit and fight, and the bullpen really locks it down. You know, you get, what was it, I think four
bullpen
innings.
Bullpen was phenomenal.
Phenomenal
last night.
Phenomenal.
And Bryce feels like he's got that steely gaze back, and there's no wavering.
I don't see that.
I don't either.
Come on.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Dude,
at all.
The power outage with
no power.
I'm concerned about Bryce. Like, I was actually, when he was coming up that spot last night, I was like,
James, it makes me wonder if he's nicked up.
I think he absolutely is.
He must be.
He had that slide into second base like 2 weeks ago or something like that, and came up holding his wrist, and he has not like hit with power since then at all.
It reminds me of the stretch he went through in 2022 right before the playoffs.
After he came back from the wrist.
After he came
100%
back.
100%
remember how that turned out.
Totally.
But that doesn't always happen.
It started when he started hitting to all fields, and then the power reemerged.
Well, it may have just started when he just got healthy. I mean, the bottom line is players play through injuries. I mean, look, he's a guy that posts. I mean, he doesn't complain. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to talk about it publicly.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
There are so many injuries that he has dealt with that we've never heard about. So that could be what we're watching.
So give him a 13-year extension. No, I'm just kidding. 215-592.
He's coming out the other end of this right now.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. By the way, here are the stakes as it relates to the playoffs. From everything that went on yesterday. So the Phils win, Braves win as well. Phils remain 6 games up on Atlanta, 31 games to go. So pretty damn good spot, although nothing clinched there. 6 up, 31 to go in Atlanta. Phillies are 1 game behind the Dodgers. They are 1.5 games in front of Milwaukee. So the Phillies currently holding the 2 seed. And if you want to look all the way ahead to the World Series, and I do so less so when there's so many teams that make the playoffs, but no, for the purpose of World Series home field advantage, the Phillies are currently a half game behind the Yankees, who hold the best record in the AL, but the Phillies are in front of all the other American League teams right now. All right, 215-592-9494. We also ask you today, what, from an Eagles standpoint, has not quite gotten enough conversation? It feels like everything's been discussed, you know, 77 different ways as we just move ever closer to the start of this Eagles season. Couple things that hit me that we haven't talked quite enough about. They are thin at some important positions. I think quarterback, most especially. If something happens to Jalen, that's a big problem. And obviously, any team is typically going to have a problem if they lose their starter. But, you know, we know what it was like to have Foles or Garcia. This doesn't feel like a Nick Foles, Jeff Garcia backup quarterback spot. That worries me. I do still feel concern more than I think most on the loss of Kelce. It amazes me we get near the first season the Eagles are going to have since Andy Reid was the coach without Jason Kelce, and it's like no one talks about it. I think that's a little foolish. On the positive side, Jalen Carter might be and probably will be about to become the next dude for our town on defense and hopefully can do it well into the 2030s. You know, Dawk did it. Fletcher Cox did it. Reggie White did it. You know, Seth Joyner did it. You know, Jeremiah Trotter did it. Hopefully, obviously, you know, this Jalen Carter guy has his head screwed on straight and uses his athletic brilliance to just kick ass for the next decade. And I'll say this, this defense this year needs him to be dominant because I don't think they're really that good defensively, but if he can turn in an all-world season, that can really elevate them as a squad. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Ben in Millville. Ben, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Joseph. How are you?
Benjamin. Always dripping with sarcasm in your voice. Hello, Ben.
I'm glad you had a good vacation. You too, Mr. John.
Thanks, Ben.
You could tell how devoted and compassionate John is about music when he was describing how well a harmonica player can
be. I heard it. That was a breakdown. No doubt about it. Listen, I think it's very clear. John and I bring very different things to the table here. And Spike Eskin had a vision how there's a yin and a yang. Because when John talks about harmonica holes, I don't know anything about it, but it's interesting.
I'm Spike Eskin.
There you go. All right, Ben, what do you got for us on our squats?
Exactly. Phillies, when you made Devin go deaf, I was screaming just as loud as you. Why Topper just go out there and say he sucks? And
then, no, like, he can't. You know, he can't then, do. But
I,
Ben,
I know,
he can't
know,
do that.
I know. But you know how that would be great in Philadelphia Inquirer.
Yeah, but how do you think that plays with Nick Castellanos, who struggled at times in his own career here? You know, how do you think about that? The players don't want their manager to say that. They just don't. I think the players want the general manager, meaning Dombrowski, to solve the problem fast. I think 100% of us want them to solve the problem fast.
But what does that look like? You can't.
Somebody else.
Yeah, but who?
I don't know.
Like, they are kind of in a tough spot with him, and the only option is to keep rolling him out there in games that don't matter as much.
I think there's two ways you can play this, and you might have to keep him on the roster because he might balk if you say, hey, dude, your fingernail hurts. Okay.
He has to agree to that type of stuff.
No, I know. So I'm saying I don't think you can pull that off.
I agree.
You would have to bring up a starting pitcher from the minors and demote a bullpen pitcher and just move Taijuan to the bullpen and barely ever pitch him, but every once in a while. Or you would have to just have the relievers start, you know, bullpen games when it's Taijuan's start. And that hurts your team. Mm-hmm. That's not good for the next start and the prior start if you have to use six
relievers.
I worry
about the playoffs with that one.
I know.
I'd rather bring up a Michael Mercado, a Tyler Phillips, whoever, and just let them, you know, bring up different guys and give different starts, Colby Allard, that type of stuff.
I agree.
Why the machinations? Like, it feels like we're caring about his feelings to some degree.
Well, they don't want
to sort of rotation of starters, of the bullpen game, but hey, we're going to put Taijuan out there first. Like, I think it's so far past where we should be worried about.
Oh, I'm not saying that.
No, we're not saying that.
We're saying sit him on the bench. Yeah. We're just saying you can't get rid of him without him agreeing to go to the minors or go to the injured list or whatever.
That's why baseball is such a problem with the guaranteedness of it all.
Well, the players' union's incredibly strong, and also the Phillies chose to give this guy $72 million guaranteed. And
it's Dombrowski's worst decision.
It just, without a doubt.
Dombrowski's been a great executive here, but he made a big mistake on that one. Ben, what do you got on the Eagles?
Exactly. You guys are correct with everything. Eagles, I'm excited. Just what you said about Carter, you know, if it's shaping up like to be, and that backup quarterback situation has me a little worried. But, you know, I think Hurts is back to, you know, 2022 Hurts, all that's been, you know, in camp comeback and all of ESP's findings and everything. But I'm excited. You know, I'm still a little worried about that Green Bay game just because it's
a tough
game.
It's
good.
It's a tough game. It's a toss-up game. I mean, it's a neutral site with two teams that were in the playoffs last year. I mean, it's a really quality game. And by the way, Ben, nobody, unless the Eagles get smoked, nobody, in my opinion, should big picture panic if the Eagles lose the game? I mean, it's a tough, you know, it should be a close game.
Exactly. Yeah, and I'm excited. I'm excited for the start of the season. It's going to be wild on a Friday night, Eagles. But yeah, that's a tough.
I know. All right, Ben, give me an answer. Interesting relationship, generational divide.
I have no idea, and I didn't know it was a specific genre that you mentioned, so I was going to say you, because nobody else knows anything.
Sorry, I clicked the button. I didn't mean to. He was going on and on.
I think it was okay.
By the way, that first game in 10 days, I'm to attend a wedding that night.
What?
No.
Yeah. Let me put that out there for the first time.
How much do you like the
he's a great friend.
Oh.
Are they Philadelphians?
Philadelphia.
So he probably planned it before he thought there was any chance of a Friday.
Which
like,
is fair.
Hard to blame him. Right. Hard to blame him for that. I was hanging out with
him on Saturday night. I'm like, dude, last weekend, I'm like, this is some bad luck. I mean, first off, you go for the Friday wedding, so you're trying to save a buck or two.
Yep, exactly, right?
So you try to save a buck or two, which the Friday wedding can help you with instead of a Saturday. And in the process, you get tagged with the Eagles' first Friday night game of all time.
Oh, my God.
The opener, to open the season.
Right.
The good news is it's a 6 o'clock wedding, and the Eagles play at like 8:30.
Okay, so you can get through all that stuff.
So,
and then,
finally a primetime game, too, that like we won't feel like we're dying the next day for, right? Like we don't have work the
as
next
As morning show hosts, yeah.
It's
but
big.
I will miss not having the immediate reaction.
Everyone tune in 1 to 3, Go Birds Radio. I will give you immediate reaction because my show will be on Saturday.
This is a good thing for him, Joe.
What?
He's getting married at 6.
Okay.
He'll be married. Like, they can celebrate while enjoying.
I don't care
the
about him. I care about
married.
I care about me.
So
well, there's
the ceremony
a dancing and wedding.
Yeah,
also,
the ceremony is.
John, they got dancing and stuff. They got a party. Like, you think they're gonna You think the bride
think
is gonna be like, hey, roll out
there,
a TV and watch the Eagles game.
Will there be a TV?
No.
I think there might be
somewhere you can go and watch the TV somewhere else.
Like
that wedding, Matt Battle's wedding, we all watched the Phillies on the table on our phone together. But
right. Classic.
You know.
All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, let's score one for Howie Roseman. So he has scored many through the years, and he gets another attaboy with the development out of Big D yesterday. So CeeDee Lamb, phenomenal wide receiver, one of those top, and it feels like there's 15 different top 7 wide receivers in football, but he's, I think, a legitimate top 7 wide receiver in football.
Might be like a top 2 or 3 receiver,
He might not be, though, because you got Tyreek Hill, you got Justin Jefferson, you got A.J. Brown. I mean, it's not easy to get in the top 3. Right there alone, I'd say he's not top 3. But
So I think a lot of people would put him above A.J.
Maybe.
I don't know if I would or not, but a lot of people would.
All right, so here's the deal. CeeDee Lamb, who, of course, had been disgruntled in Dallas, gets his deal. Boy, does he get his deal. 4 years, $136 million, $100 million guaranteed. Yet another example of a player who expresses frustration publicly. Some guys hold out, some guys hold in, meaning they show up to camp, but they don't want to practice until they get their deal. They're happy to talk to reporters about how unhappy they are. You know, he was in the, you know, not thrilled category. Everyone knew it. He gets 4 years, $136 million. $100 million guaranteed. Now, let's move that to someone who's not far off his age at all, DeVonta Smith, who I'd say is not as good as CeeDee Lamb, but it's not like there's a massive divide. DeVonta, a couple months ago, how he got out in front of it, right? Got out in front of it after 3 years of DeVonta, 2 years left on his deal. DeVonta's deal, 3 years, $75 million, $33.9 million guaranteed. CeeDee Lamb gets $100 million guaranteed.
Incredible the difference.
DeVonta gets $33.9 million. Mm-hmm. Score one, ladies and gentlemen, for Howie Roseman. By the way, we also looked up A.J. Brown's contract.
DeVonta's cap hit is $8 million this year also.
It's ridiculous.
Right.
We also looked up A.J.'s contract before the show, just to kind of get a line there. A.J., 3 years, $96 million. Which is comparable to CeeDee Lamb for the per year average, but
it's still less.
But it is still less. And AJ got only $51 million guaranteed. CeeDee Lamb got $100 million
guaranteed.
You imagine that. So, you know, we are very lucky as a town and as a, you know, group of Eagles fans that Howie Roseman runs the Eagles. And this is yet another example. Let's go to the phones. We'll take your reaction, 215-592-9494. We'll also talk to Elliot coming up in about 10 minutes, the latest on the Eagles on cutdown day. Mike and Delran right now. Good morning, Mike.
Yo, morning, guys. What's going on?
How are you, Mike?
Hey man, huge game last night, right? Like
good.
You guys know Tasty Cake Dom, right?
Tasty Cake Dom?
He's a caller.
I don't. I know Big Dom, and I know Dom Brown, although I don't really know him personally.
So I'm in a text group, and he says, you know.
Dominic the Donkey. He's another classic Dom. Yeah. All right, hold on. Go ahead.
All right, anyway. He called it last night, that walk-off by Harper. That was huge. And the fact that you said it, and I didn't realize it either, 8-12.
Yep.
I'd say they're back. I'd say they're getting back to it, right? I mean, that's huge. You know, that's just big. And then the other thing I want to talk about is, I hate Nick Wright more than anything on the planet right now. You know, I'm not sure if you saw his article yesterday. His little crap piece he puts out there to get the clicks.
Like, so Mike, let me tell you something why I typically don't talk about that stuff on the show. The Nick Wrights, the Skip Bayless, all that nonsense nationally. Because I am convinced that they say things to try to generate reaction that puts them in the headlines and increases their ratings. Now, I'm commenting on it now because you commented on it.
I brought it up.
But otherwise, believe me, I can very easily just swat it aside. And I would encourage you to just swat it aside. I'm serious.
You know, I should. You're right. But for some reason, I don't. And I let it get to me.
You do.
It pisses me off.
I get it.
I let it white knuckle my car when I'm driving down the street and I hear this nonsense.
I know.
Guys like that. But anyways, and then your answer for the generational thing. And I'm not sure if this is even fitting what you're asking, but I'm doing this for Richie and Seltzer. It's got to be Cousin Larry and Bouncy Bartokoulos.
Ooh, nice.
All right, Mike, good call.
You were out. The day you were out, we had a big Perfect Strangers thing.
No, I don't remember them being different generations.
Yeah, they're a little different. Like, I think they're,
much.
You know, like 10 to years apart, maybe, or something.
About seven years apart.
I think he
missed. Yeah, I think he was just trying to do the Perfect Strangers reference.
Trying to bring it back to Perfect Strangers.
Yeah.
They were like two peas in a pod. They weren't like peas and carrots different, but the same. They were like cohorts. They were best buddies from different places, but the same age-ish to where they could get along.
Think. Yeah. All right, let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question, who do you think made the decision to give Taiwan Walker another start? Is it A, John Middleton, B, Dave Dombrowski, or C, Rob Thompson? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. You know, I don't think it's Rob Thompson, yet he has to answer the questions publicly. Let's listen to Topper yesterday. So this is prior to the Phillies game. This is Rob Thompson with Scott Fransky here last night on WIP prior to the game. He addressed the Taiwan thing. If you want to crush Rob Thompson for what he says, you can. I tend to think he's taking bullets for the front office. Here's Rob Thompson before the game.
I know there were some things you were encouraged by with Taiwan in that start, even though the numbers certainly were tough, and he made some pitches that really got him hurt. Why give him another opportunity at this point?
Well, I think, one, he's got a lot of experience, and you know, there's a lot of mud in his spikes, and I think he's a competitive guy, and I think he's earned it over the years. And I like the fact that his velocity's gone up. He's done a lot of work. People don't understand how hard he's worked to increase his velocity. And I know he made some bad pitches in his last start, but I thought the action on the split was good. It was just ball out of hand, and he's got to go strike the ball and command his fastball. And if he does that, I have confidence he's going to do well.
Look, I don't like it.
Got some mud in his cleats, Joe. That doesn't do it for you?
No. How hard he's worked to increase his velocity? How fast is he throwing it, man?
Like,
is his velocity really that markedly improved?
I wish Rob Thompson would tone it down a bit, clearly, but I don't think it's his decision.
Why should he pitch for you? Well, he's pitched before. Many times.
Dude, this is like when that coach, whoever it was, Ryan Kerrigan that year at the Eagles talked about, he lines up in the rest
Yes, it's exactly
whoever
what it's
that,
like.
Whoever that guy was.
Deserved it, yeah. Right. I mean, he knows so, where to go. He knows how to line
up. Come on. I mean, he knows how to line up. His eyes are in the right spot. All right, enough.
Yeah.
But I don't blame Rob Thompson. I do blame the Phillies, though. I mean, I know we're in a better mood, obviously, because they won the game last night, and we should be, and they've won 3 in a row, and they've won 8-12, and that's a really good stretch, 8-12. But I do think it is ridiculous that he gets another start.
What do you guys think about, I didn't know that Bryce was playing first base differently than a lot of first basemen play it. You know, last night we learned a little bit about how he can sort of rove more than your average first baseman.
Yep.
I don't know.
By the way, great play by him last night, man.
He made some big.
The
yeah.
circle around, that was a big play.
And an incredible play. And I don't know if he makes that play if he doesn't have this unique set of rules that he's applying to first base. So, Jimmy, like, is this something that he's doing new things that we should appreciate even more than what I realized as a defender?
Not that I know of. I mean, I just think he's out there playing first base.
I will say, I think that he has not made as many spectacular plays in the last 2 months as the first 2 months. I thought April and May, I thought he was fantastic, diving all over the place, making plays. And I feel like that regressed in recent weeks or months.
Maybe. Wow. Well,
but I'll tell you what, that was a big time play last night.
Sure.
Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Elliot Short Parks in just a moment. Tom in Dover right now. Tom, good morning, man.
Good morning, Joe DeCamera.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, listen, man, I'm driving to work this morning, man. 6 o'clock. I'm already dreading the excessive heat warning. And I'm listening to you as usual. You my man, you know.
You said I'm mumbling?
No, I said I'm listening to you.
Oh, okay.
You my man.
Oh, my man. No, my man. I was getting a compliment.
Really, Tom?
Oh, more of that, Tom.
Joe is your man?
More of that for, you know. The,
yeah,
I'll take that. All right.
He's my man.
I love you, Tom. You know that.
Because I listen to him on the radio. You know, and, you know, he's my man in that form. Now, he's not my man, though, but you understand what I'm saying.
It's
but,
all good,
sort of.
Yeah, but I'm listening to you tell a caller to swat something that somebody says.
Yep.
And I just got me heated up, man, because you're calling in talking about Jalen Hurts. If he's not great this year, he's a bust. So what am I?
Well, I never use that. I never use that term. So, Tom, here's what, in my opinion, is the difference.
Here we go.
Tom, tell me if you believe me when I say this, because I'm going to say something I know to be true, but I'm curious if you believe me. Do you believe when I say something here on WIP that I believe it?
I thought you did.
Well, forget what you thought. I'm asking you right now. You've heard me through the years. You're hearing me today. Do you believe when I say something, I mean it? I believe it.
Yes, I do.
Okay, I appreciate that. I really do. So I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt when I say something, I mean it. I believe some of these national guys, when they say things on TV, I believe some of them sometimes don't actually mean it. I think they say crazy things sometimes to try to spur conversation and try to build headlines and try to, as the last caller said, get clicks. And ultimately, honestly, you know what it's about for them? To make more money, because their viewership may actually go up with the nonsense, the ratings go up, and then they make more money. And I object to that. I think that's nonsense.
Okay, but then again, what about when you're doing it on the radio?
But I don't do that. I will tell you what I think. It may be positive, it may be negative, but I can guarantee you, Tom, it's what I actually believe.
So you're saying they don't actually believe the stuff that they say?
I believe that in some instances they do not believe it. That's correct.
All right, okay, so you cleared that.
I mean, take Skip Bayless and all the nonsense he said about LeBron. Look, there's some things you can poke LeBron at, obviously. I don't think he's Michael Jordan. There's no shame in that. He's had an incredible career. He's been an amazing player. He's come up small in some big spots. But, I mean, the way Skip Bayless talks about him, you'd think he's the 25th best player of the last 20 years. You know, like, come on.
No,
all right, Tom, give me a great answer, my man. For the tickets to the Killers, an interesting relationship between two people, different generations.
I don't have no answer for the Killers, Joe, but I did have something about the Phillies. And I'm going to tell you, man, if them bats don't start clicking, man, on a regular basis, man, it's going to be a problem.
Well, it would be lights out fast because there's only so many times you can win a 3-2 game. I mean, they did it last night, Tom. Great call as always, man. That was fascinating. But obviously, look, it's good they battled back last night. They have scored a lot of runs in the last four games. They just happened to be not many runs last night, but it was enough. Credit to the bullpen and credit to Rojas with a great, great catch. All right.